To Steiger's disgust, the friendly shot landed farther and farther away from the intended target.
"They don't seem to shoot fine," Ellie said, as he and Steiger gazed upon the catapult.
"Did you mean good?"
"Yes," Ellie said. "That is the word. They are no good, yes? The common tongue is a little confusing. It's not like Elven."
"They are rear echelon auxiliaries," Steiger said, hoping the elf caught his meaning so that he did not have to explain further.
"There are auxiliaries, and then there are auxiliaries," Ellie said.
A crack from the tower signaled another bolt loosed. Steiger followed the deadly missile's flight as it shot toward the same target. It impacted the ground around 10 feet away. The crew reloading their machine paused only briefly before returning to their work. The bolt thrower was a relatively accurate machine. However, like the catapult, the crew operating it did not appear terribly skilled. Steiger considered sending his men up to take charge, but disregarded the idea. He would step on Tried's toes if he did so. Besides, with so few machines in operation, the artillery duel would have little impact on the overall assault other than a psychological one. Sending his men up to the tower would just put them at risk, and right now, they were safe. Not only that, it would violate his orders from the prefect. Steiger's men were the reserve. They would be needed when the enemy tested the walls. Another ball sailed overhead, whistling. It passed through the roof of one of the barracks with a tremendous crash, partially bringing the roof down and nearly demolishing the entire building. A heartbeat later, a ball smacked loudly into the fort's wall off to the right. Crouching behind the barricade and peeking over the top, Steiger had to admit that he did not much enjoy being on the receiving end, with not much to do other than spectate. Prefect Merritt visited the wall, making a point to speak to his men as he worked his way along its length. Like Steiger, the auxiliaries huddled for cover. They had placed their shields against the lip of the barricade in the hopes that, should it be pierced, they would have some limited protection. At one point, Steiger even saw the Tribune come out and climb up the rampart to look from the wall before returning to his quarters. Since he had been relieved of command, Declan had remained out of sight, whether by design or from shame was debatable. "Looks like they are finally getting ready to make an assault," Merritt said, coming over. He had brought Tride, Tevis, and Hollocks with him. Merritt stood in plain view of the enemy, even turned his back as a ball whistled close by. Steiger ducked with the other officers, seeking the shelter of the barricade. Merritt was the only one who refused cover, even seemed to disdain it.
"Gentlemen," Merritt said, "do try to set an example. Stooping behind the barricade every time a ball sails in doesn't exactly inspire courage or confidence now, does it? If it has your name on it, there's nothing you can do. So I ask you, why hide? It's not like those infernal machines are terribly accurate, especially from this distance. The men should see you standing tall and unafraid." A little shamefaced, Steiger and the other officers stood, fully exposing themselves to the enemy's fire. Steiger looked across the field. Formations of men had been marching from the camp for some time, moving around the fort. Steiger had counted 9 enemy companies moving into jump-off positions. A large number of covered wagons had followed behind each company.
"I fear they mean to assault our walls, even as they go after the gate," Merritt said, eyes sweeping the enemy formations that were preparing to attack. "Hollocks, I want your bowmen over the gate. They are bound to make a go for it. No matter how successful they are, that mound of dirt piled up behind the gate will keep them from getting through. We might as well bleed them as best we can. See that you do so."
"Yes, sir," Hollocks said.
"Tried," Merritt said. "I will take the north side and the west. I want you on the other 2 sides. Take Tevis here with you. Keep an eye out for trouble. Send for reserves should you need them."
"Yes, sir," Tried said.
"Steiger," Merritt turned to him.
"Sir, you are our reserve. Tride and I will send for reinforcement should we need it. However, I expect you to look for trouble and dispatch men as you see fit. Take the initiative, son."
Steiger nodded his understanding.
"With the exception of the gate," Merritt said, "should the other sides of the fort come under direct assault, we shall conserve our short spears. Use as few as possible in ranged attacks. It is the enemy's 2nd and possibly 3rd attempt at forcing the walls that will prove most serious. Understand me?"
There were nods all around.
"Gentlemen," Merritt said, "we have to hold the wall. There is nothing more important. The 3rd should be here at the earliest this evening. I expect you to set an example for your men to follow. Show them why we are their betters and why we lead. Are there any questions?"
There were none.
See to your duty, then, Merritt said stiffly.
The officers broke up. Instead of returning to his men, Steiger elected to remain at the wall to watch. Standing in full view of the enemy, he did his best to keep from cringing every time a ball came whistling in. Just to be safe, he made a point of watching for them as they were launched and sailed through the air. Even so, he moved about frequently to keep from being targeted. He noticed the eyes of fearful auxiliaries who were crouched down behind the barricade track him as he moved by. After a time, Ellie left their original spot and joined him. The elf was carrying a short bow with a quiver full of arrows slung over his left shoulder. Steiger offered a nod as another ball whistled in. It impacted the wall a few feet to his left, and he felt the vibration through his boots.
"Have you been through this before?" Steiger asked Ellie.
"Trapped in a fort, hopelessly outnumbered, and surrounded by an enemy army with no relief in sight?" Steiger gave another nod.
"I have seen much over the years," Ellie said, "but this is a first for me. It will be something to tell tales about, eh?"
"I wish we could silence that artillery," Steiger said with some frustration.
"What do you have in mind?" Ellie glanced out into the field. Steiger had not expected the question. He felt his brows draw together as he gazed out over the machines. It was an interesting question, but one he thought academic. With the enemy massing around the fort and preparing for a direct assault, there would be no way to get at the enemy's artillery. Any attempt would be spotted the moment they left the fort. Besides, any assault force would have to cross two bridgeless trenches. By the time a team could clear both, the enemy would easily be able to counter such a move, and with superior numbers to boot. Steiger pursed his lips. He could not see anything that could be done. He glanced over at Ellie once more, and chewed his lip as a thought occurred to him. He turned back to the artillery, and almost chuckled. Ellie gave him a curious look.
"A few days ago," Steiger explained, "my company assaulted an enemy encampment in the Koratol Valley. During the attack, the fields of wheat around the encampment caught fire." Steiger gestured out into the field. "Those machines out there are sitting smack in the middle of a wheat field. If we could somehow set the wheat afire, the enemy would be compelled to either abandon or withdraw their machines."
"What an excellent idea!" Ellie reached up and pulled an arrow from his quiver. The long shaft was bright green. The feathers on the end were brown and from a bird Steiger was unfamiliar with. Where there should have been a sharpened point, he saw only a rounded tip that was surprisingly thicker than the rest of the arrow. Before Steiger could question the elf's intentions, Ellie's hand brushed the end. The tip of the arrow exploded into flame, which hissed and smoked menacingly. Astonished, Steiger simply stood and watched as the elf calmly knocked his bow. Ellie drew the string taut, as if he had not a concern in the world, and then released. Trailing a line of bluish-gray smoke, the arrow arced up high into the air and landed several feet from the nearest machine. Having followed the missile's path, Steiger almost missed Ellie firing a second arrow and then a third in rapid succession. Each time, the elf simply touched the end of each arrow. Obligingly, they burst into flames. Ellie shot a fourth missile before lowering his bow and making a show of admiring his work. Out in the field, where Ellie's arrows had landed amidst the wheat, thick smoke rapidly billowed upward. A few heartbeats later, flames could be seen licking their way amongst the wheat as the fire hungrily spread.
"How did you manage that?" Steiger asked, nearly agog.
"Magic," Ellie said, with a closed-mouth grin. "High-born magic."
"Really?"
Steiger had seen small trinkets and lanterns that were true magic. Curiosities more than anything else. These were generally owned by the wealthy as mere status symbols with little use. Steiger had never seen actual magic in use for a practical purpose. Wizards, being the only ones capable of making magical items, were few and cared little for mortal affairs.
"I'll never tell," Ellie winked.
"Can you shoot more like that?" Steiger asked.
"Sadly, those were the only special arrows like them that I had," Ellie admitted with a slight shrug. "Truthfully, I've been saving them. It seemed like a good time to see how well they worked."
"Fire!"
someone along the wall shouted. Auxiliaries who had been sheltering behind the barricade popped their heads up over the wall for a look. Great clouds of smoke were rising upward from around the enemy's artillery. The flames were rapidly spreading. The crews of three of the machines ran for cover, almost as if the flames were chasing them. The crew of the fourth machine worked desperately as they prepared to tow it out of danger. A team of horses was run up, men set about hitching it up, even as flames started hungrily on the other side of the machine. Steiger wondered if they would be successful at saving it as they pulled away, part of the catapult on fire. He swept his gaze beyond the artillery. Unfortunately, the fields that bordered the fort had been devoted to other crops and appeared to have already been harvested. There was little chance they would burn. They'd been lucky the enemy had set up their artillery amongst the wheat. "Did you do that?" Merritt had come up. He was looking to Ellie for confirmation.
"It was his idea," Ellie said, pointing at Steiger.
"You can blame him. I only executed his plan."
"Good show," Merritt said, patting the elf on the shoulder as he looked out at the burning machines.
"I should have thought of that myself." A horn from the enemy sounded, one long, steady note that seemed to go on and on before finally falling silent.
"Here they come!"
came a shout from off to the right. A large mass of men was moving forward toward the first trench. From the wagons, they pulled a large bundle of sticks, which they hauled forward and then threw into the trench to act as a makeshift bridge. Others laid planks across. Similar bridges were being built by the enemy at several points along the trench. In a shockingly short time, the first trench was bridged in several places. The shouts of alarm coming from the other side of the fort told Steiger that a similar thing was happening there, too. Those creating makeshift bridges crossed and moved onto the second trench.
"Had we more bowmen," Merritt said, "I would make that a very costly endeavor."
Three heavy infantry companies were arranged neatly in long blocks, their standards fluttering in the breeze. They waited for the work to be completed, having lined themselves up behind the budding makeshift bridges. A shout came from the other side of the fort, calling for the prefect.
"I best go see to that," Merritt said. "Steiger, I believe it's time for you to get with your men. I'm sure you will be called upon soon enough to reinforce the walls."
"Yes, sir," Steiger said.
A question, sir."
Merritt nodded.
"I am curious, sir," Steiger said, a thought occurring to him. He realized that he was more than a little curious now that he got round to asking it.
"I'd like to know, why is this place called Fort Covenant?"
"Steiger, I've been here 10 years, Merritt said. "In all that time, no one has been able to tell me beyond the fact that this fort was built over the remains of an older one of the same name. If you ever find out, I'd like to know too."
"Yes, sir," Steiger said.
Merritt left them, running down the slope of the rampart and making his way across the parade ground to the other side of the fort. Steiger turned his gaze out into the burning field. The flames had thoroughly overtaken one machine, and it burned fiercely. Two others were on fire. The fourth had been pulled to safety. It was still on fire, but men were busily shoveling dirt onto the flames. Steiger glanced over at Ellie. "What are those magic arrows of yours called?"
"I don't think there's an exact translation in the common tongue. However, it comes close to roughly burning glory."
"That's fitting," Steiger said. He took one last look out at the field before he started working his way down into the fort. Steiger sensed Ellie following. With the threat of the enemy artillery removed, the auxiliary stood boldly in view, grimly prepared to receive the coming assault. It was a little thing, but at the same time, Steiger understood that Ellie's work with his bow for the defenders was a big thing morale-wise. Chapter 18.
"How goes it up there, sir?" Tiro asked, as Steiger made his way around the keep to where his men were sheltering from the artillery. "We've not heard any shot come in for a good bit."
"Ellie's work, I'm afraid," Steiger said. "Three of the four machines are out of action, and the fourth is burning, thanks to his magic fire arrows."
"Magic?" Tiro asked of Ellie. "Well, I've never seen you do magic before. I thought you said how I moved through the forest was a magic unto itself."
Tiro grinned at Ellie. "You never tire of patting yourself on the back, do you?"
"I don't see anyone else rushing to do it," Ellie said.
"Well," Steiger said, "there is no reason to keep the men sheltering here. Let's move back to the parade ground."
"Aye, sir."
Tiro saw to it that the company was moved out into the center of the parade ground. Once there, Steiger allowed the men to sit, relax, and rest.
"Tiro," Steiger said with a glance around at his men. They were tense, grim even, though there was some talking and light banter. It was clear they knew the stakes of what was to come. He could well imagine that several of his men had upturned stomachs, a result of nerves
rather than the normal culprit, undercooked food. Many had likely skipped the morning meal for fear of embarrassing themselves with the runs or upchucking. The men are to eat and drink. There is no telling when they may get the opportunity once the action starts.
Yes, sir, Tira said. Best to have something in the belly to keep them going.
Steiger saw Varys emerge from a barracks building, Nera from the farm at his side, helping him walk. His head was wrapped in a grey dressing, and he appeared more than a little unsteady. It was clear that he had not yet fully recovered. The corporal wore his armour and carried his shield. It heartened Steiger to see him on his feet. He held an auxiliary helmet that he had obviously requisitioned under his free arm.
"Reporting for duty, sir," Varys said, shooing Nera away and attempting to stand on his own. He wavered precariously.
"You are not fit for duty," Steiger informed him, with a glance over at Tiro. The old sergeant nodded his agreement.
"Sir," Varys said, "I can fight."
"Varys," Tiro lowered his voice, "you'd be more a danger to yourself than to the enemy."
"Please, sir," Varys said quietly, so that the men could not hear. "Shortly you will need every man. We all know this. I can't sit this out. Don't ask me to do that."
"I'm not asking," Steiger said, hardening his voice, though he wanted nothing more than to give in to the man who had almost been killed as a result of his orders. "You will stand down, Corporal."
"Sir, Varys, I have no doubts on your capabilities as a fighter. When you're fit, you may return to duty, not before," Steiger said. "I have made my decision, and that is the end of it."
Varys's shoulders slumped, and the movement almost made him topple over. Nera stepped in close, supporting him.
"Make your way over to the keep and remain there," Steiger said. "The prefect has designated it as a hospital. Since you can't fight, perhaps you can at least help by caring for those who need it."
Steiger softened his tone. "Can you do that for me? Some of our boys will end up there soon enough. Knowing that you're looking out for them will be a comfort."
"Aye, sir." Varys sounded a little better, but still disappointed.
"I don't like it much, but I will do what I can."
"Very good," Steiger said. "I will check in on you later."
With Nera's assistance, he hobbled off toward Keep. Steiger's men were busy pretending they hadn't witnessed the scene when their officer glanced around. Tiro stepped nearer.
"It was the right proper thing to do, sir," Tiro said, voice a little gruffer than normal. "And I appreciate you sending him off. He's the best friend I have. Varys would end up dead if he took his place in the line, sir."
Steiger nodded, feeling terrible about denying Varys the opportunity to stand with the rest of the men and do his duty. But as Tiro had just affirmed, it had been the correct thing to do. A muffled massed shout from the other side of the gate went up. Steiger turned. He could see Hollux's bowmen gathered on the platform above and to either side of the gate. Hollux was pacing slowly behind his men, calling out encouragements as they leaned forward and repeatedly shot down over the wall at the enemy on the other side. Inside the fort, there was a wall of freshly shoveled dirt behind the gate, which covered the only entrance into the fort completely. It was several feet thick.
"Won't do them bastards no good," Tiro said in amusement. "That's one large mound."
There was a deep thump. The earth behind the gate vibrated from the force of the blow of a battering ram. Muffled screams and shouts could be heard from the other side of the wall as the enemy struggled to overcome the gate, while Hollux's bowmen rained death down from above. An auxiliary atop the wall tilted a large smoking cauldron over the side. From the bluish smoke, Steiger knew that the man was pouring heated oil onto the enemy. Another threw boiling water, while a third shoveled dirt that had been cooked over a fire. These were all horrific weapons that were designed to inflict terrible burns. Out of all of them, oil was possibly the wickedest of the bunch. Like water, it would run down and under a man's armor. Unlike water, it would eat away any skin it touched, and was nearly impossible to get off. Steiger fairly itched to go up and lend his support, but he had his orders, and Hollux appeared to have everything in hand. So he stayed with his men and waited, albeit a little impatiently.
"Sir," Tiro said, "might I make a suggestion?"
Steiger looked up at Tiro and raised his eyebrows expectantly. The sergeant cocked his head to one angle and stared at him meaningfully. Steiger realized he had been pacing, which was not good. The last thing he desired was to unsettle the men.
"Well, sir," Tiro said after a long moment, "standing here on the parade ground,
We can see the northern wall well enough, a bit of the eastern, and very little of the western. Those buildings block almost all of the southern wall.
Your point?
The roof of the keep will allow you to see in all directions, sir, Tiro said, and gestured at the building. I think you might wish to consider going up there. The keep, only a few yards away, towered over all the other buildings. Crenulated battlements topped its roof. He itched to go up there and see what was going on, but at the same time, he felt the need to be on the ground with his men. He was torn.
Sir,
Tiro lowered his voice so that only the two of them could hear. There are times when officers must lead, and other times when they must fight. Right now, it's time to provide direction, and you won't be able to do that without knowing what's going on.
All right, Steiger said. Tiro had made his point. Let's move the men over to the keep again. I'll go up to the roof and holler down where reinforcements need to go. That sound good?
It does, sir, Tiro said, sounding extremely pleased. It does indeed. Steiger made his way over to the keep. The main door, heavily reinforced with metal supports, was open. Inside, he found the surgeon with an assistant setting up shop in a large centralized room. The space had been set aside for the fort's administrative work. There were a few closed doors off to the sides that led to what Steiger assumed were offices. The surgeon had cleared off a table upon which a number of wicked-looking surgical instruments lay. Several crates filled with bandages and dressings were by the table's side, as were a number of stopped jars, likely vinegar for cleaning out wounds. The surgeon and his assistant were in the process of moving a second stout table next to the first. Both men barely spared Steiger any notice as he made his way past them. Steiger almost stumbled over Varys, who was sitting on the stairs that led upward to the second floor and looking quite miserable. Nera sat on the step above and was leaning her head against his. He made to get up, but Steiger waved him down and moved around the corporal and up the stairs. Passing the second and third floors, Steiger followed the stairs all the way up to the top, where he came upon a trapdoor that lay open. Ellie was already up there, having slipped away unnoticed some time before. He spared Steiger a glance before turning back to watch the action to the north. The view from the top of the keep was impressive. Not unsurprisingly, Steiger found he could see in all directions. It was, however, more than a little shocking to see the enemy arrayed around the fort in orderly blocks. Two blocks for each side, with the exception of the north side, where the enemy had lined up three. Steiger figured each block represented a single company of heavy infantry. The trenches directly to the front of each company had been filled in with bundles of sticks or bridged by a series of planks. These makeshift crossings should have been critical choke points or avenues of death for the assaulting companies. Instead, the enemy would cross all unopposed. The Imperial fort was short on defenders, and the tools with which to make such crossings hazardous. The only action was around the gatehouse. Steiger moved to the north side, next to Ellie. He gripped the top of the battlement, feeling the coarse wood on the palms of his hands. Horrocks's bowmen fired missile after missile down into the enemy out of sight. Hot oil was repeatedly poured over, as was the boiling water and cooked sand. Steiger could only imagine the horror being wreaked upon those attempting to force the gate. An enemy horn sounded to the east, cutting over the noise of the fighting. Steiger moved over to that side to see what was going on. He arrived as a mass shout went up from out in the field. The two enemy companies there broke formation and surged forward and over the bridge trench. Apparently, traversing the bundles of sticks was trickier than it appeared. Several men lost their footing or were inadvertently knocked by their mates and tumbled over into the trench, where sharpened stakes lay waiting. Most, however, made it across. They brought with them numerous makeshift ladders. Auxiliaries along the eastern wall raised their shields and prepared to receive the enemy. They wielded a mixture of short spears, swords, and large poles with metal hooks on the end that were designed to push ladders off and away from the wall. Pozzulo moved amongst them, which meant some of Horrocks's light infantry were present. The sergeant's voice could be heard as he shouted to his men. Over the noise of the fight around the gate, Steiger could not make out the words. Lieutenant Tride was there too, watching the enemy surge forward. Where the defenders should have been tossing their short spears, there was no ranged fire. The prefect had made his point, and the spears were being conserved for later action. Steiger's eyes followed the enemy as they began to cross the second trench. Then the lead elements disappeared from view,
shielded by the wall. Another horn sounded to the west, then to the south. Steiger felt his gut clench. He resisted the urge to look in any other direction, as he wanted to see how it played out initially on the eastern wall. It wasn't long before Steiger saw the tops of the first ladders land against the barricade. Auxiliaries struggled desperately to push ladders back, while others dropped large stones over the side on those below. Men armed with short spears sparingly threw them down at the enemy, attempting to climb the ladders. Steiger could hear shouts and screams. It was a loud and confused jumble of noise. Having successfully scaled his ladder, the first enemy came into view at the top of the wall. The Riven soldier made to climb over the barricade. He was immediately set upon and stabbed by an auxiliary and fell backwards and out of sight. Another immediately took his place. Steiger tore his gaze from the east to look to the western wall and then the southern. He saw a similar scene there, with men struggling to keep the enemy from coming over the top. For a time, Steiger felt like his head was on a swivel as he scanned in each direction, waiting for the moment when the enemy would get over the wall and he would need to commit some of his reserve. He was surprised that it hadn't happened yet. The auxiliaries were holding. Sucking in a breath, Steiger looked far to the south, squinting in the hope of seeing the first elements of the third entering the valley. He let the breath out. All he saw was a thick column of enemy cavalry riding south and an infantry company following. Steiger wondered if it was Golds' company. "It's nerve-wracking, isn't it?" Ellie had come up next to him. Steiger looked over at the elf. Was he so transparent? Had the elf seen it so plainly? "I should be down there," Steiger said, gesturing at the wall to the east. "Not up here. Our time to fight and possibly die shall come soon enough," Ellie said. "However, our place for the moment is here." Steiger held the elf's timeless gaze as he weighed the words. It irritated him that Ellie was right. "Your duty lies here. When it comes time for you to be on the wall fighting alongside your brothers, you will know." Steiger gave a curt nod. Though he did not have to enjoy it, his duty was to watch and wait, for surely, as the elf said, his time would come. Steiger turned back to watching the walls and saw the first auxiliary fall. An enemy at the top of the ladder had stabbed out with a sword, striking him in the leg. The injured man lost his footing and rolled back down the rampart to the bottom, where he writhed in pain as his lifeblood poured out, staining the grass and dirt. Another auxiliary took his place, jabbing a short spear at the enemy and taking him in the neck. The Riven soldier clung to the ladder in a death grip. The auxiliary stabbed him again, this time in the face, and pushed hard. The force of the strike was so strong that it shoved both the man and the ladder backwards and off the wall, where they crashed out of sight. The defenders were being pressed hard. Steiger estimated that at least 20 ladders had been thrown up along the eastern wall alone, the tops of which poked over the top of the barricade. An enemy finally managed to climb over the barricade. He drew his sword and was immediately rushed by three auxiliaries, one of which had a short spear. The Riven soldier slashed his sword in wide arcs in an attempt to ward them off. Desperate, he even managed to bat aside the spear, but a sword jabbed into his side. Steiger could hear his agonized scream as another sword stabbed him in the thigh. He finally went down when the spear pierced clean through his neck. While he was being cut down, another Riven soldier had scaled the top, pulled his sword, and jabbed the auxiliary with the spear hard in the side. Steiger had seen enough. He leaned over the building and looked down at Tiro.
"Tiro!"
Steiger hollered. The sergeant looked up.
15 men to the eastern wall. The enemy has made it over the top. They are to plug the breach and then render what assistance they can." 15 men to the eastern wall. Is that correct, sir?"
"Yes." Steiger returned his attention to the east. Several of the Riven had made it over the top at that point, but nowhere else. The auxiliaries desperately fought to contain the breach. Lieutenant tried amongst them. Steiger's men, with shields held to the front, red cloaks brilliant under the morning sunlight, formed a line and began working their way up the rampart towards the enemy. Satisfied that his men would be enough to seal the breach, Steiger turned his gaze to the south and saw that the auxiliaries there were holding. To the west was a similar scene, with Merritt personally directing the defences. The northern wall was holding as well. Could he dare hope that they would withstand this assault?
motion out of the corner of his vision, drew his gaze. Ellie, who was facing the eastern side, had removed his bow from his back and knocked an arrow. In the blink of an eye, he let fly. Steiger saw the arrow neatly strike an enemy on top of the ladder. The man had been about to clamber over at a spot to the left of where Steiger's men had pushed forward. The arrow took the man right through the throat. He fell backward into space. Another appeared almost instantly. Ellie loosed again, striking this man as well. Clinging to the ladder with an arrow sticking out of his chest, he was pulled back and off the ladder by the next man coming up beneath him. This man made to clamber over, but another bolt from Ellie hammered him as well. With a blood-curdling scream, he dropped from sight. Ellie struck the next man, and then the next after that. Steiger had heard of Elvin's skill, but had never truly believed it until now. "Send more men to the eastern wall," Ellie said tersely as he loosed another arrow. This one was aimed at a different spot, where several of the enemy had made it over. Steiger called down to Tiro. The sergeant sent another 20 men on their way. Steiger returned to studying the situation. The 15 men he had first dispatched had made their way up the rampart and sealed the original breach. They had thrown the ladder back off the wall. These men then began moving along the wall, assisting the auxiliaries who were hard-pressed. Ellie lowered his bow, dispassionately scanning the action. He had perhaps 3 arrows left in his quiver. Steiger saw his additional reinforcements moving at the double, making their way up to the rampart, further reinforcing the beleaguered auxiliaries. It seemed to make the difference as his men spread along the wall. Satisfied that the eastern side was under control, Steiger turned his attention elsewhere, sweeping each side of the fort for trouble. Lieutenant Triot had moved on to the south and was battling bravely alongside his men, helping to force ladders back off the wall. Tevis was there too. Steiger saw the lieutenant from Fort Ida block a blow with his shield before using it to hammer the enemy in the face and knock him off his ladder. It was an awful struggle, and ugly to watch. The fight seemed to go on and on without let-up. Abruptly, an enemy horn blew a series of blasts. It was repeated and taken up by other horns, each one sounding the same call. The din of the fighting along the wall slackened, and then ceased altogether. The enemy began drawing away from the walls of the fort, streaming back toward their jumping-off points. Many of the defenders cheered at their apparent success, while others slumped to the ground in exhaustion. The wounded, who were capable, dragged themselves down the rampart or walked toward the keep. It was a pitiful sight. "Tiro," Steiger called down, "help with the wounded and get them to the surgeon."
"Aye, sir,"
Tiro called back up and set about dispersing the remainder of the company. Steiger turned back to studying the enemy that surrounded the fort. By his estimation, 9 companies had partaken in the assault. He did the math in his head, and thought it amounted to no more than 1,800 men. As he looked upon the enemy's camp, he knew without a doubt they had greater than 20,000 out there. By counting standards, Steiger was able to determine that 12 fresh companies had moved out of the encampment, marching in neat formations as they worked their way around the fort. With a sinking feeling, he understood the first assault had only been probing in nature. The second assault was meant to swamp the walls, as a wave washing over a child's sandcastle at the beach. "They mean to overwhelm us with this next assault," Steiger said to Ellie.
"It looks that way," Ellie said. "Let us hope they don't bring more ladders."
"I'm going to find the prefect," Steiger said, and made his way down the stairs. The main level of the keep was already filled with wounded and awash with blood and the cries of the injured. He saw Nera and Varys caring for those they could, and the surgeon hard at work with his assistant. Steiger paid them no mind, moving out onto the parade ground. He went in search for the prefect, and found him above the gate with Hollocks, looking down on the remains of the enemy's assault. Both men were silent as Steiger came up. The small area before the gate was filled with bodies. Some had fallen one atop another, until they were several deep. Bodies lay heaped atop or sprawled next to the ram, which was crude and had been made from a single tree trunk. Evidence of the accuracy of Hollux's bowmen was readily apparent. The smell of burned flesh and oil hung heavily on the air. Steiger guessed there were at least 100 of the enemy, maybe even as many as 150, dead, dying, or injured before the gate.
"We murdered them here," Hollux said woodenly. "I never imagined such slaughter."
"Sir," Steiger said to the prefect, who was spattered with blood, mute evidence as to how involved he had been.
The prefect turned a hard gaze upon Steiger. The enemy is moving up at least another 12 companies.
You mean they are finally getting serious?
Prefect Merritt asked with a grim chuckle.
That didn't take them long.
Steiger was impressed with the prefect's demeanor. He had not even flinched when given the bad news. Here was a leader of men, Steiger thought, his respect growing for the older officer.
This wasn't serious?
Horrocks gestured at the carnage below. They only came in with 9 companies, Steiger told him. Once these fresh companies are in position, I expect we will be really tested.
How did the other sides fare? Merritt asked. Do you know if Tride made it?
The eastern wall was breached, Steiger said. I was forced to dispatch men to contain it. The other sides held well enough, and the lieutenant seemed to acquit himself quite well, sir.
Merritt gave a nod to that, then lifted his gaze from the bodies below. He looked out beyond the 2 defensive trenches. The formations that had just taken part in the assault were busily reorganizing themselves. They were also tending to their injured, at least those fortunate enough to be capable of walking out under their own power. Beyond the companies that were slowly reorganizing, the fresh formations were still in the process of moving into position. He studied them for a protracted time. Steiger said nothing and waited.
I'd say we have at least an hour, perhaps a little more, until they're in position. Merritt glanced down at the ram. I don't believe they will try the gate again. It is time to redeploy our bowmen to the other walls. Horrocks, I would like you to leave 5 men here and disperse the rest of your shooters around the fort.
Yes, sir.
For this next fight, hold nothing back, Merritt said. Send plenty of arrows with them.
I will, Horrocks said. I am also going to order the remainder of the short spears be dispersed, Merritt said to Steiger. It is time we use everything we have.
I agree, sir, Steiger said, though he personally doubted that it would be enough to hold the enemy off. From Horrocks's look, he understood the gravity of their position as well.
Sir, Horrocks said, if you will excuse me, I will see to the disposition of my men.
Merritt nodded, and Horrocks left them.
I saw you on top of the keep, the prefect said. It is a good position. I want you up there again. Dispatch men where you feel the need, and then, when all of the reserves are committed, join the fight yourself.
Yes, sir. He began to step away.
Steiger!
Prefect Merritt stopped him.
Though I served on the other side during the Civil War, it is an honor to fight with you, as I once fought with your father.
Thank you, sir, Steiger said, with mixed feelings at the prefect's sentiments. I am honored to fight alongside you as well.
Take care, son, Merritt said.
With that, Steiger stepped away to find Tiro and his men, determined to do his duty to the end.
Chapter 19. The assault was thunderous. It was as if more than 1,000 voices were shouting, screaming, and crying out in unison, which Steiger supposed they were. Add to that the clash of swords and the clatter of shields being battered, and it was riotously loud. Steiger moved from side to side, watching the struggle along each wall. It was desperate, hard, and brutal. The fighting had been going on for more than an hour, as the enemy attempted to force the walls for a second time. They had sent more men, but fortunately no additional scaling ladders. Nevertheless, the assault was intense. Steiger got the sense that these men attempting the walls were of better quality than those of the first attack. He had been forced to dispatch almost all of his men, including Tiro, to help plug breaches. Even so, the defenders were managing to hold the walls of the fort by a bare thread. Steiger's reserve now consisted of only 5 men. They waited for his call. When it came time to deploy them, there would be no more help available. Steiger knew he would be going with them. The twang of a bow drew Steiger's attention. Ellie had brought several bundles of arrows with him to the keep's roof. The elf had been firing nearly non-stop since the assault had begun. For each shot, he hit his mark with deadly accuracy. Steiger had seen Ellie miss only 1 shot, and that was because the target had unexpectedly tripped and fallen. Ellie reached down to the last bundle of arrows, and one-handed, untied the coarse string that bound them. Steiger turned his gaze to the south. An ugly plume of smoke climbed high into the sky where the town had been. With mounting frustration, he scanned for the third, but saw nothing of their relief. All that was in view was a column of enemy cavalry
leisurely returning from the town they had undoubtedly sacked. Steiger's frustration with their position gave over to a sinking feeling. It was now abundantly clear. General Treem would not arrive in time. Steiger kicked the wall. From what he was seeing, the tide could not be held back for much longer. The defenders were not only being worn down, but also steadily whittled away. Steiger's hand strayed to the hilt of his sword. He closed his eyes and offered up a silent prayer to the High Father. He made sure to commend his spirit into the great God's keeping. "So be it," he growled to himself, accepting what fate had dished out. He trusted in his God. Steiger opened his eyes. It was time. He studied the four walls and decided the western side of the fort needed the most help. The enemy had gotten up over the wall, and a large breach was forming around one ladder. Tiro and a handful of his legionaries struggled on one side of the breach, Lieutenant Tried and a number of auxiliaries on the other. They pushed back against the growing bulge, attempting to contain the breach. The enemy struggled just as fiercely to widen their gain. A sergeant clambered over the barricade. He began guiding his men over the wall and into the fight, while at the same time exhorting those climbing up to hurry. Steiger saw one of his own fall and roll down the inside of the rampart, like a discarded child's doll. Steiger could not see who it was, but the sight tore at his heart. When the man came to a stop, the legionary's red cape was wrapped around him like a burial shroud. "I'm going to the western wall," he said to Ellie, anger roiling through him. "I will be along shortly," Ellie said, even as he loosed another arrow at the enemy along the southern wall. The enemy soldier dropped as if the life had simply been plucked out of him. "Don't wait too long," Steiger said, "or you may just miss the fun."
"I wouldn't dream of missing it."
Ellie flashed him an open-mouthed grin before reaching down to grab another arrow from the open bundle at his feet. Steiger took a last look to the south, hoping to see something, anything. With a shake of his head, he made his way through the trapdoor and then down the stairs. The makeshift hospital was packed. The rooms on the second floor, offices, and personal quarters for the Tribune had been opened and were overflowing with wounded men. Blood streaked the floor. It had landed in drops and splashes before being tracked across the wooden boards. The injured sat on the stairs, the floor, or wherever they could find the space, waiting for their turns to be seen by the overworked surgeon and his assistant. Steiger passed several who were slowly bleeding out, their pale features a testament to the blood they'd lost. Steiger paused at the foot of the stairs, surveying the grisly scene on the first floor. Men had been slashed and stabbed. Some had lost hands, fingers, and even arms. One man was missing a chunk from his forearm. Bone and mangled muscle were in plain view. He cradled his ruined arm, rocking back and forth and moaning softly to himself for his mother. Steiger rubbed his jaw as he took it all in. This was the face of war. Those who dreamed of battlefields and glorious charges never cared to imagine it. On a table, the surgeon's mate held a patient down while the surgeon stitched up a leg wound. The injured auxiliary screamed in torment as the work was completed. The surgeon paid the protests of his patient no mind, but continued his work with single-minded efficiency. Varys and Nera moved around, doing what they could for the wounded, wrapping and bandaging wounds, attempting to staunch blood flows. Two of the walking wounded were doing the same. Steiger made his way over to Varys. He found he had to be careful of his footing as blood slicked the wood-planked floor. "Varys," Steiger said, laying a hand on the man's shoulder armor. Varys turned dulled eyes upon him. Realizing who it was, his gaze sharpened and he straightened. "How's it going out there, sir?"
"Not good," Steiger said, and quickly glanced around.
It seemed all eyes were on him, with those nearest listening intently. It was time for plain talk, and these men deserved the truth. "I want you to organize the walking wounded and prepare to defend the keep."
"It's that bad, sir?" Varys asked. "The enemy will shortly overcome the walls." The corporal's eyes blinked at that, but he nodded his understanding just the same.
Concern washed over Varys's face.
"Where are you going, sir?"
"I'm taking the last of the reserves to the western wall to do what I can," Steiger said, and then cleared his throat. He pointed at the heavily reinforced door. "You must hold the door for as long as possible before sealing it. When the end comes, the survivors will need sanctuary. Keep it open for as long as you can."
You can count on us to hold the keep for you, sir, Varys said loudly, glancing around. Isn't that so, boys?
There was a chorus of agreement. Several of the injured stood.
When it comes time, Steiger said, seal the door, even if I'm not here. Hold out for as long as you can. The third may yet come.
I will hold the door until you return, sir.
I know you will, Steiger said. But close it just the same when the time comes. Understand?
Varys, looking miserable, gave a curt nod.
Good luck, Varys, Steiger said. He had the nagging feeling he would never see the corporal again. Worse, Steiger thought he read the same in Varys's eyes.
Take care, sir.
Varys drew himself unsteadily into a position of attention. He saluted. Steiger returned the salute and held the corporal's gaze a prolonged moment, then made for the door. Stepping outside, the noise of the fight crashed home once again. It was nearly overwhelming in its intensity, but the struggle on the walls did not capture his attention. Steiger's eyes fell upon the dead just beyond the keep's doorway. Bodies had been carried from the interior of the keep and piled up like firewood. The sight made Steiger ill. The feeling became worse as he recognized one of his men, Urbus, laid out on one of the piles. The legionary's eyes were open in a death stare, gazing up at the sky. Steiger moved over and gently closed them. He rested his hand upon the man's forehead.
"My father, kindly take this brave soldier into your care," Steiger said. "He is in your hands now."
"Ah, Steiger, I see you have finally come down from your perch. That's very brave of you."
Steiger turned to his left. Tribune Declan was calmly pulling on a pair of leather gloves as he eyed Steiger. He wore his kit, which included his helmet and expensively engraved chest plate. He wore both arm and leg leather greaves that had been embossed and etched with silver. The polished chest plate shone brilliantly under the late afternoon sun. A breeze stirred the tribune's fine red cloak. His shield leaned against another small pile of dead men. Steiger felt nothing but disgust for the tribune. Had the man not sent his other cohort to its death, they might have had a chance to hold the fort. Instead, Declan had effectively signed all of their death warrants.
"You're a disgrace," Steiger said bitterly.
"That's right," Declan said in a conversational tone. It was almost as if the fight around them were not happening. "Even after you told me of your orders for his arrest, I made the mistake of listening to that traitor Agger. I sent him unknowingly back to his masters as Lyrs's second-in-command. Worse, I allowed both Lyrs's and my hatred for your family to color my thinking." The tribune reached down and picked up his shield. He drew his sword and glanced to the nearest wall, the north side. "I have dishonored myself and my family. So yes, I am a disgrace. Truth be told, I think I have always been one. For my many sins, I go now to atone in the only way I can." He looked back on Steiger and managed a smile. "My only consolation is that you shall shortly follow me over to the other side. I will see you there, traitor's son." The tribune turned his back and started across the parade ground. Anger burning white hot, Steiger watched the man go.
"Sir," Asa said, drawing Steiger's attention. His five men were standing just a few feet away, including Durgo, one of the auxiliaries Steiger had rescued in the Khor Atul Valley. They looked unsettled.
"We need to help relieve the pressure on the western wall and plug the breach," Steiger told them. He pointed to a discarded legionary shield. "Hand me that, will you?" Steiger pulled out his sword as Asus handed him the shield. He took a moment to get a comfortable grip on the shield before turning to his men.
"Let's go."
Steiger led the way across the parade ground. The closer they got to the rampart, the noisier it got. The enemy had gotten over in good numbers, the breach had widened considerably, and the Imperials were being steadily forced back. Steiger led his men to just below the center of the breach. The enemy had completely broken the defense here and were attempting to clear the rampart so they could get more men over at additional points. To the left side of the breach, Lieutenant Tried fought desperately alongside his men. To the right side, Tiro led a mixed bag of auxiliaries and legionaries. As more of the enemy clambered over the barricade, the pressure on both groups increased. There was almost a clear path right up to where the enemy were coming over the wall. The sergeant who was directing the fight and sending men fresh over the barricade
had not spotted Steiger and his men yet. "Listen up. We're going to thrust right up there." Steiger turned to address the men before pointing with his sword up toward the center. "Directly between the two fights, and we don't stop for anything until we reach the barricade. Once there, we push that ladder back over the side and keep any more of them bastards from getting over. We do that, and our boys on either side should be able to fight their way to us. Fail at this, and I'm afraid the fort is lost." Steiger raked his eyes over his men. They were grim-faced, but appeared ready. "All right, fan out and form a line." Steiger stepped into the center spot. "Shields up! Advance!" They started up the slope of the rampart. Steiger bashed his shield forward into the first man he came across, slanging him hard in the body and knocking him down. He stabbed downward, taking him in the belly, and then twisted the blade as he felt the tip strike bone. The man screamed, blood frothing his lips. Steiger stabbed down again and silenced him. To either side, his men moved forward and engaged the next enemy soldier several feet up the slope of the rampart, efficiently cutting him down. Steiger stepped over the body of the man he had just killed and advanced up the slope. He caught up to the line as Asus on the right stabbed an enemy who had been locked in individual combat with an auxiliary in the ass. Badly wounded, the auxiliary slumped to the ground in relief as Asus finished the riven soldier off. The fight to either side raged unabated. As they advanced up the rampart, Steiger found it surreal. As impossible as it seemed, the enemy seemed completely unaware of their presence. They were allowed to continue uncontested and almost completely unimpeded for a few more feet, until they made contact with those just coming over the wall. The enemy sergeant noticed them for the first time and called out a warning. "Push 'em!" Steiger shouted, charging up the last few feet. The sergeant and five others made ready, though from having climbed up with only swords at hand and no shields, the enemy were at a severe disadvantage. The fight to either side, just feet away, was so loud it beat down heavily on Steiger's senses. He put it from his mind as he slammed his shield at a man wildly swinging a sword at him in panic. The sword clattered harmlessly off his shield. Steiger hammered forward again, slamming the man back into the sergeant. The sergeant fell, helmet connecting with the wooden barricade. Asus, to Steiger's immediate right, stuck an enemy and then knocked him aside as he went for the next one. Steiger stabbed the man he had hit with his shield and then pushed him bodily aside. He fell and rolled down the rampart. Steiger turned on the sergeant. The sergeant had lost his sword. He leapt up and grabbed desperately for Steiger's shield. The move was so unexpected that the shield was almost wrenched away. Instinctively, Steiger jabbed out and struck the man's chainmail chest armor. The sergeant's breath whooshed out with a grunt. He released the shield before stumbling backwards over the man Asus had just taken down. Steiger pressed forward and stabbed the sergeant in the thigh, neatly taking him down. Steiger stepped forward to finish the man, clearly an older veteran of some experience, and not unlike Tiro. The enemy sergeant was on his back and helpless. He raised a hand and said something that Steiger took to be a no. It did not matter. He was the enemy and could not be allowed to live. As he drew back to strike, Steiger was struck a hard blow over his back that knocked him to the ground. Twisting as he fell, he saw an enemy raise his sword for a finishing strike, only to be struck in turn by a killing blow from a short sword that slid deeply into the armpit. Durgo threw the mortally wounded man to the ground before turning to face the next man. Having lost his shield, Steiger scrambled to his feet and cast his eyes upon the sergeant. He too had gotten to his feet. Their eyes met. Before Steiger could make a move, the sergeant placed a hand upon the barricade and threw himself over the side. Stunned, Steiger hesitated a couple of heartbeats. He shook off the shock and rushed up to the barricade. A few of those facing the stubborn defenders led by Tried and Tiro finally became aware of the threat to their rear. Steiger's men turned and dropped into combat stances and prepared to receive them. Trusting the men to have his back, Steiger reached over the barricade and stabbed a man in the process of clambering over in the side of the neck. Silently, the enemy soldier tumbled back down the ladder, taking the next two men with him to the ground. Steiger glanced over the side and saw a mass of enemy below, waiting their turn to go up the ladders. He also saw the sergeant, stirring feebly as his own men stepped over him. Several of the enemy behind rushed Steiger's men. He heard the clatter and clash of swords, shields, screams, and oaths. Someone bumped into his back. Steiger's men fought off the enemy attempting to fight their way back to the ladder and open the way again.
"Help me!" Steiger called to Asus, who had just dispatched an enemy.
Steiger was struggling one-handed to push the ladder off the wall. Realizing he had only heartbeats before the next man clambered up, Steiger dropped his sword and took hold of the top of the ladder with both hands. He shoved with all his might, straining. Those below on the base resisted and worked to hold the ladder in place. Then Asus was there at his side. Using his shield longways, Asus hooked it between the top rungs and pushed with Steiger. The ladder resisted a moment more, then toppled backwards to the ground and over those below.
"Nice work," Steiger said, picking up his sword.
"Thank—" A sword point exploded through Asus's throat, blood spattering Steiger in a terrible spray. Asus toppled to the ground, a Riven officer standing over the dead legionary. Impossibly, it was Kreef. The lieutenant's eyes widened in recognition, then narrowed. Steiger saw red. Roaring his rage, he charged. Kreef wielded a long cavalry sword. The enemy officer swung downward, a vicious yet clumsy blow that Steiger blocked with ease. The two swords met in a ringing clang. Hands stinging from the impact, Steiger pushed Kreef's sword away. As the other attempted to recover, Steiger drove a fist into Kreef's jaw, snapping it back. Kreef dropped his sword and stumbled back a couple of steps. Steiger was on him in a flash, driving his sword into Kreef's exposed arm. Kreef screamed as Steiger opened up the arm to the bone.
"I told you if I ever saw you again," Steiger said, "I would give you some steel. Where's your daddy now?"
Cradling his injured arm, Kreef took another step back and glanced around for aid. There was none. Steiger punched out again, this time aiming for the neck. Seeing the blade coming, Kreef tried to duck back, but Steiger's attack was lightning fast. The sword went in just enough to nick the artery. Blood immediately fountained from the wound. Kreef staggered, hand gripping his ruined neck in a futile attempt to stop the flow. Blood began to run out of the enemy officer's mouth. He stood there in stunned shock, choking. A moment later, the life left his eyes, and he crumpled to the grass. Steiger stood, staring at the body of his enemy. Kreef had gotten no more than he deserved. The sound of the fighting crashed home, jarring Steiger awake to his surroundings. Durga was the only man Steiger had led in who was still standing, and he was locked in a one-on-one fight. Steiger jumped to his aid, distracting Durgo's opponent by landing a powerful blow along the man's chest armor. It was enough for Durgo to slip in a strike, which dropped his opponent.
"Behind you!" Durgo shouted.
Steiger turned as two Riven soldiers attacked him, one swinging a slashing attack. Steiger blocked it, the two blades coming together with a powerful ringing. His fingers went numb, and his hand started to tingle. Steiger held on tight to his sword and forced the blow aside. A sword from the second attacker jabbed painfully into his side armor. Steiger took a step backward in an attempt to gain some space. Even as he did so, he blocked a strike from the first man. Their swords met again in a ringing clang that sent sparks flying into the air. Steiger flicked his gaze at the second man. He had started working his way around Steiger's side, only to have Durgo engage him. Free now to face one opponent, Steiger stepped forward and punched out with his sword, even as he drew his dagger. The enemy soldier dodged Steiger's strike and then lunged. Steiger again forced the strike aside, stepping in close, and stabbed with his dagger into the side of the neck. Steiger's hand was immediately coated in warm wetness as the dagger went in deeply. The Riven soldier dropped his sword, sighed once, and fell to the ground, where he twitched his last. Breathing heavily, Steiger looked around for Durgo and saw him tightly engaged. Steiger was about to step to his aid when motion from his left caught his attention. He looked and saw three Riven soldiers several feet away and closing in. One pointed his sword at Steiger and said something to the others. Steiger could well imagine them relishing the idea of taking down an officer. Steiger dropped his dagger. He reached down and picked up a discarded shield, never taking his eyes off the three as they carefully closed the distance and fanned out. Steiger brought the shield up. The one who had initially spoken shouted, and they leapt forward. Steiger took a step back and used his shield to block the first blow. He immediately pushed back, throwing his shoulder into it, and caught the man by surprise,